Welcome to our Painesville Assembly of God podcast. Our desire is to connect people to a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. If this message touches your heart, we'd love to hear about it. Email us at info@painesvilleag.com or visit painesvilleag.com. We pray that this message will be an encouragement to your faith.
I'm back. Well, good morning. Good morning. How is everybody today? Guys, we do this all the time. How are you guys? There you go. There you go. Man, I was hoping the third time's the charm, you know? For those of you who don't know me, I'm Pastor Sam. I'm the youth pastor here. It's so good to see you guys. I'm actually really excited about today. I am. Because the thing that we're going to talk about today is actually the first sermon I ever wrote. Yeah, I know. Some of you are like, this is bad. And it was bad at first, and then I worked on it. In fact, I worked on it in class. CT was there. Caleb, you remember this sermon? It was really bad. All right. But I never preached it in front of people before. And in fact, this sermon series that we are in youth is called All In, and that's what we're going to be talking about today, going all in for God. And I know this is really interesting because I know God told me to preach it today because of not only what we talked about with communion, but also the worship talks about going all in for God. He's worthy of it all. So knowing all that, and I was originally going to be teaching this with our students. See, our students on Wednesday nights, we've been going through this series All In and talking about what it looks like to go all in for God with our time, our money, our mindset, all these different things. And then Pastor Aaron goes, hey, you're preaching again. I was like, okay, I know where I need to go. Because it's not for just them, it's for all of us. See, I truly believe this is important for all of us because I think when a church is willing to go all in for God, that is when the miracles happen. The revival we all want starts to become a reality. We stop living in the what could happen and start living in the what will happen. Amen? Now, since I'm bringing some youth to a Sunday, we're going to have some fun. I have a game. Don't worry, I'm not going to call on anybody. I saw like some eyes just go really wide there. They're like, don't pick me. But in fact, I'm going to say a verse. I'm going to say the beginning of the verse, and then I'm going to go to you guys. And then you are going to finish the scripture. With me? You guys ready? If you don't know it, it's okay. Just mimic what the person next to you says. All right, let's start off simple, okay? John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he? That whoever believes in him shall? See, that's not so hard. All right, let's go Philippians 4:13. I can do all things. Great job. Now let's try a little harder one. Let's see if you know this one. Matthew 16:24. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny. Way to go. Way to go. I'm so proud of you. See, it wasn't that hard. All right. I saw some of you panic. I'm not going to lie. That was pretty funny. I wish the cameras saw you guys. That would have been hilarious. But I have a question for you. Why do we truly know these scriptures? Or even better yet, why are these the verses that stick out? See, to me, I call these, they're important. Fully believe that, okay? They're important, right? They're important, right? They're important. But I also think they're the Hobby Lobby scriptures. Some of you got that, some of you didn't. I call them the Hobby Lobby scriptures because they put them on the picture frames and then they sell them and then that's what you see in the person's kitchen. But they fully, truly don't know the meaning of the context. We're going to be in Matthew 16 today. Okay? Of carrying your own cross. Because doing that goes all in for God. But what about the other scriptures, Pastor Sam? Well, I'm giving you homework. What? I'm a grown adult. I don't need homework. Well, you can say that, or you can say this is your pastor telling you to read your Bible. Because we all know if you aren't in the Word, then are you really going all in for God? There's my little uncomfortable spiel for you. There you go. Now, there's three concepts that we should know while we're going all in for God. Now, these concepts are very simple. I want you to know that, okay? However, even though they are very simple, they are very hard to follow. And I'm not just going to teach you them, but I'm also going to teach you why they are important to be followed. Sound like a plan? All right. The first concept is this: guard your heart. Pretty simple, right? Well, let's look at Matthew chapter 16, and we're going to start at verse 5. See, I told you in the game, we went to verse 24, but we need to start in the beginning to understand what is being said. All right, so Matthew 16:5. Now, the first four verses is the Pharisees and Sadducees. They're trying to get Jesus to show them an example of why he's who he says he is. And Jesus is like, ye of little faith, you don't understand what I'm here for. All you care about is this. There's more important things to be done. And it goes into this: when they went across the lake, the disciples forgot to take the bread. Now, again, he left the Pharisees. Now they're going, him and the disciples are going somewhere else. And he said this: be careful, Jesus said to them, be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees and Sadducees. They discussed this among themselves and said, it is because we didn't bring any bread. Now, we know Jesus speaks in parables, stories to explain a bigger meaning, right? And I'm shocked the disciples didn't know this, because they've been with him for however long, and then yet they're still like so close-minded on what's happening. And Jesus catches on, and this is what he says. Aware of their discussion, Jesus asks, you of little faith, why are you talking among yourselves about having no bread? Do you still not understand? Don't you remember that the five loaves or the 5,000 and how many basketfuls you gathered? Or the seven loaves or the 4,000 and how many basketfuls you gathered then? How is it you don't understand that I was not talking to you about bread? But be on your guard against the yeast in the of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Then they understood that he was not telling them to guard against the yeast used in bread, but against the teaching of Pharisees and Sadducees. See, your heart is the most important thing in the human body. It is the thing that can gives human body life, and it provides blood flow, and if it stops, the rest of the body stops. It's right. I hope you all know that, okay? If not, sorry to break the bad news to you. The same goes with our faith. We need to be in constant communication with God. Not only does this grow your faith, but it also builds your relationship with him. Oh, that's why you're telling me to read my Bible. Yeah. Because if we're not in communication with God, what are we doing? See, being a Christian is a daily battle. It's not a thing where, oh, I'm on Sunday and that's it. Being a Christian is not just a religion, it's a relationship. A relationship is based off communication and trust. I'm sorry, if you're not talking to God or listening to what he has for you, are you in true relationship with him? That's the importance of it. To know his voice, to hear his voice, be willing to go all in and say, God, I don't care about the rest of the world. I want to hear only you. I said earlier that it's a battle, because it is. It's not sunshines and rainbows. I'm sorry to burst your bubble. Being a Christian is not easy. It's hard. Especially when the rest of the world is looking at you and telling you, why do you do that? That doesn't make sense to me. You're a hypocrite. You're this, you're that. It's gonna be hard. And I hate to say this, it's not getting easy. There will be trials and hardship that is going to test your faith. That's why Jesus said what he said, because there will be things that happen. People will try to turn you away from him, and you need to guard your heart on these things so that you can stand strong in God. Now, all of you know, because I do it every time, I like to tell stories. I do, because I think it's the best way to explain stuff and to let you know what you're going through. You're not alone. I guarantee you someone in this room has either gone through the same thing or something very similar to it. That's what the whole church is about. Body of believers working together. There was this time in my life, I was a junior in high school. I think it was junior or sophomore year of high school. And I was sitting next to this guy who was, I just met him. Turns out he was trying out for the baseball team. Same with me. So we were like talking there. Finds out that I'm a Christian. Mind you, this is the first period. All right. And it's like early in the morning. If you know anything about me, you can ask Pastor Aaron. You can ask Pastor Michael. You can ask Pastor Kevin. You can ask David. I am not a morning person. Okay? Don't talk to me in the morning. I can't think. And what happens? The man looks at me and says, am I going to hell? I'm like, great. Why? I was like, why do you have to do this to me in the morning? And I remember what my dad taught me. He goes, don't go straight in with an answer. Try to meet them where they're at. Why did they say that? Did they find something in scripture? Did they do this? Go that route. Because then it shows that you're willing to walk beside them rather than attack them. I'm like, okay, all right. Maybe this is God trying to help me grow in walking beside someone. Before I get an answer, for some reason, my economics teacher is walking around. He never walked around, all right? He usually sat in his chair. No, he comes up and says, yeah, I'm interested too. I'm like, okay. And before I got to say anything again, he goes, yeah, you don't know anything. I'm like, great, whoa, we went from this to this real fast. And he goes, you don't know anything. You don't know your faith. You don't know anything, da-da-da-da-da, the whole spiel. And I'm so happy because the save by the bell, right? Rung, everybody dismissed before I even got to say anything. I went home that day and I talked to my dad. I'm like, Dad, I feel like I failed God because I couldn't defend my faith. And he looked at me and said, that's not that. It's not a fails of faith moment. It's a teaching moment for you, Sam. I said, okay, how? Explain to me how I didn't get to say anything. He goes, exactly. They're not going to listen to your words. Now you need to show it through your actions. I was like, okay. Later on, throughout the years, that friend, that guy that was sitting behind me became one of my closest friends in high school. I got him to come to church a couple times, and he was wrestling with his faith. I don't know where he is today, but I know once I see him again, I'm going to do everything I can to get him to come to God. The teacher, however, this is where it gets interesting, because the teacher then learned to respect me. He, on the last day of his class, we had a substitute teacher, and it was during our final exam. And what happened? Well, apparently, the answers to the test was found. And every student in that class copied the answers, except for one. Now, I'm very bad at economics. I got a C on the test. Thank you. But later on, he finds me. I don't know what he did with the rest of the students and how he did it. He found me the next day, which was the last day. He goes, I want you to know, I know the class cheated. I thank you for what you did. That's all he said. I got my grades back. Turns out he gave me 100%. Now, why did I share this story? Because I want you to understand there will be times in your life where your faith is tested. And it's easy to follow, especially when the rest of the world is telling you it's okay. There will be times in your life where your faith is tested, but when you guard your heart and build your relationship with Him, you will be able to stand strong because God will be on your heart and mind and will guide you through every situation. That is why it's important to go all in for God and go all in with your heart. This leads us to the second concept, which is trust in God. Okay? Now, we continue our story in Matthew 16, and we're going to start at verse 13. It says this, when Jesus came to the religion of Caesarea and Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? They replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah or the other prophets. But what about you? He asked. Why do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God, Jesus replied. Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you lose on earth will be lost in heaven. Then he ordered his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. I'm going to say it. Way to go, Peter! You know, Peter, man, you usually make mistakes, but way to go! And then let's go to verse 21. From that time, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised of life. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Never, Lord, he said, this shall never happen to you. Jesus turned and said, Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns. I'm going to say it again. Way to go, Peter. Now, I did a little research. Caleb, exegesis. That was a little inside joke. I wanted to tag him because I'm glad he's here. Now, I did a little research, and I wanted to see if I'm missing something when reading this, because how can Peter go from one side to the other in a matter of, like, what, five verses? Three verses? Because he just jumps? And this is what I came across, and a bunch of theologians said this, and I think it describes it the best way of what we're seeing. This was a strong rebuke from Jesus. No kidding. Yet it's entirely appropriate. Though a moment before Peter spoke as a messenger of God, he then spoke as a messenger of Satan. Interesting. Jesus knew there was a satanic purpose in discouraging him from his ministry on the cross. And Jesus would not allow that purpose to succeed. Jesus exposed how Peter came into this satanic way of thinking. He didn't make it a deliberate choice to reject God and embrace Satan. He simply let his mind settle on the things of men instead of the things of God. and Satan took advantage of it. Interesting. Where have I heard that before? Maybe the entire time of Pastor Aaron's previous message? If you weren't here for that, by the way, you could check it on YouTube. It's a really good series. You should. Peter knew who Jesus was, then basically denied what he came to do. Your mind is a powerful thing and can even play tricks on you to get you to stumble and fall just like Peter did. And I believe for some of you, you're going through a rough time. You're going through hurt. You're going through a struggle. But you do have faith in God. You know he is loving and just and faithful. But it's hard to see that when everything around you is crumbling down. This is my encouragement to those who are going through that. Don't let the enemy win. Trust in God. Trust the process. For all of us, that's why we need to remember what Paul wrote in Romans 12. This was to unite the Jews and Gentiles. All right, they originally didn't get along because of the ideology and their old way of thinking. Okay, and it says this, Romans 12:2, do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So we need to guard our heart and control our minds. These two are the vital things that we need to do. Once you do that, then the final concept becomes a little bit easier, which is to carry your cross. Matthew 16 and verse 24, it says this. Then Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. Excuse me. But whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what they have done. Truly, I tell you, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. See, Jesus is telling his disciples that they need to deny themselves and be different from the rest of the world. Because when you go all in for God, you have a different mindset, you have a different heart, you have a different action, you have a different presence, if you would, than the rest of the world. Denying self is not the same as self-denial. We practice self-denial when we occasionally give up things and activities. But when we deny self, we are surrendering ourselves to Christ and determine to obey his will. Now, I have this mirror. Sorry, Miss Jen, I'm coming to your spot. I'm sorry. I just don't want to hurt anything. I have this mirror. It is Pastor Katie's mirror, okay? I almost ran into that microphone. This is a mirror, right? What does a mirror do? It reflects, I'm making sure the lights don't hit you. It reflects the person, right? Would we all agree? Yes? Nod your head. Okay. Thank you, guys. There you go. But you see, the mirror represents our best selves, you know? New shirt, nice shoes, you know? And this is what we show everybody else, our face that we put on, our mask. But if we're honest, there's some things that no one sees. There's anger. There's bitterness. I'm angry towards someone and I can't let it go. Bitterness. Because I can't forgive them, which leads to, well, look at this, unforgiveness. We have lust, adultery, pornography, jealousy, and gossip. These are just a few things that we have in our lives that we try to hide. God sees them, but we try to hide them from everybody else. But see, when we guard our heart and we control our mind, making sure the light doesn't blind some of you. Oh. But when we guard our heart and control our mind, and we carry our cross, which comes through our actions of what's on the heart and mind, it becomes easier to do what God tells us to do. It becomes easier to bear the fruit that He has given us. Love, joy. Come on, peace, there you go. And once you do that, see, once you go all in for God with your heart and your mind, and you ask for forgiveness, and you start living for God, all these things that were who you are no longer define you. They're gone. They're no more. But instead, we live in what God has for us. We live for the fruit, the love, the joy, the peace, the patience. Sorry, I'm trying to put it on. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Ooh. Gentleness and self-control. And see, once we start living based off that, and we go all in for God, where it changes our heart, changes our mind, then our actions become what God has always planned us to do. Be like Him. I'm going to ask the worship team, you guys can come up. And I know what some of you are thinking. Pastor Sam, that's easier said than done. You're right. You're 100% right. You're 100% right. But can I tell you, when you go all in for God, you're never truly alone. Not only will God be with you, but if a church is all in for God, you have a body of believers that are helping you grow into what God has called you to do. That's why we tell you guys, get in a life group. Go to these things. Why? Because we want you to build relationships with each other. See, a church does not get mad or get angry or call someone out for their sin. But no, we actually love them just as Jesus loved them, because we want to see what the potential of what they can be, not what they're at right now. James 5 says this, and the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he committed sin, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous person has great power as it is working. Elijah was a man with nature like ours, and he prayed fervently that it may not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on earth. Then he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth bore its fruit. Today, we're going to end with that. If you have something, you have a need, you have something that you want to get off your plate. Maybe you're going through a struggle or a challenge. Maybe you want to renew your heart, renew your mind. Whatever it may be, I want you to come up and pray with the prayer team that are going to be up here.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. We pray that you're encouraged by this message. For more information about Paintsville Assembly of God, visit paintsvilleag.com.